Okay, it's 1 minute after, so I'm going to go ahead and get started. Welcome everybody. This is the NSF webinar on the Computer and Information Science and Engineering Research Initiation Initiative, CRII. I'm Jeremy Epstein. I'm the lead program officer for the SATSE program and also for the CRII program. Answering questions with me today is Alan Sussman, who is co-lead with me for the CRII program, along with two other program officers who are not here today. And reading and organizing the questions in the chat to help out will be Daniela Oliveira and Alex Sprinson, who are also program officers at NSF. We're also joined by JD Kundu, who is acting deputy assistant director of SIZE. And with that, let me turn it over to JD.
Thanks, Jeremy. Again, I'm JD Kundu. I'm the acting deputy assistant director for NSF's Director of Computer and Information Science Engineering. You know, we here at NSF as an agency, we have the goals of expanding knowledge in science, engineering, and learning, and advancing the capability of our country to meet current and future challenges. And we here in SIZE have the responsibility to advance computing, communications, and information science and engineering, and support advanced cyber infrastructure to drive innovation broadly. You know, in order to achieve our goals, it's critical to us that we have broad engagement in what we're doing, that we're attracting people and ideas broadly to help advance our field and drive innovation. And an important element of our approach is this program, CRII, the SIZE Research Initiation Initiative. And, you know, the purpose of this program is to provide resources for early career researchers to launch their research careers. And in particular, this program is to provide resources to researchers who would not otherwise have access to resources to launch their research careers. And again, our rationale here is to broaden the community of people and organizations participating in the SIZE research and education enterprise, including the community submitting proposals to us and getting funding from us. You know, this is really important to us. This is the best way for us to advance our field and see that opportunities are shared broadly. Now, you know, receiving proposals from you is just one of the ways we rely on the SIZE community to advance our mission. You know, we also rely on folks to serve as reviewers in our merit review process, participate in workshops we support, and serve rotations as program officers, helping us manage our programs. So please, you know, think about whether those things are right for you now or maybe in the future. And thank you for participating in this webinar here today. And now I'll turn it over to Jeremy to tell you more about the details of how the CRI program works.
Thanks, Jeremy. Very much. Thanks, JD, for your welcome. And I forgot to thank also, in addition to my colleagues, as program officers, we're also supported by Angel, Elena, and Edgar, who are behind the scenes making all the magic work. Thank you very much. We can't do it without you. The way this is going to work is I'm going to give you about a 15-minute overview of the program and then ask your questions in the Q&A. You can start asking now. You don't have to wait for me to finish talking, and somebody already did. That's wonderful. Okay, so let me start by telling you what's changed compared to past years if you have looked at the CRII solicitation in the past. We have a maximum of 6 years rather than 5 years as we had in the past since your PhD, and that's for 2021 submissions only. We've clarified the rules for faculty at PUIs, predominantly undergraduate institutions. We pronounce that PUI. Third, we've added language to talk about resources available through CloudBank and some of the experimental research infrastructure. And fourth, we've clarified the department chair letter, especially for PUIs. The goals of the program, we're going to summarize the goals of the program, requirements for eligibility, areas of interest to the program, the submission process, the review process, some of the frequently asked questions. Everything that you see in the solicitation, in this presentation, is a synopsis of the solicitation, which has more details. We also recently updated the FAQs, which have many questions and answers. If we don't cover whatever questions you have today in this webinar, please check the FAQ. If you don't find the answer there, please contact one of us. Our contact information is on the CRII webpage and will also be on the last slide of this presentation. These slides will be posted to the NSF website after the conclusion of the webinar. We're going to try to keep this whole thing to an hour, but we've allocated an hour and a half. So the most important thing to do is read the solicitation and then read it again. Most of the folks responding to this solicitation, this is the first proposal you've ever written to NSF. And so we really encourage you to read all the details. The goal of the program, as JD said, is to support researchers in the first 3 years of their academic positions. Importantly, the CRII program seeks to provide essential resources to enable early career PIs to launch their research careers. For purposes of this program, SIZE defines essential resources as sufficient funds for 48 months of graduate student support for faculty at graduate institutions. In particular, this program is not appropriate for PIs who already have access to resources to conduct research. Eligibility for the program has been the number one question asked since the program began. In short, there are four parts to eligibility. First, you must be in an academic position, not a postdoc or a research associate, at a university or four-year college as of the deadline for submission. You must be in the first 3 years of a tenure track or research science or education position or equivalent. Positions in government or industry do not count against the three-year limit. Neither do positions as postdocs or research associates. However, academic positions held overseas, whether tenure track, tenured or not, do count towards the three-year limit. If you've had more than one academic position, the total time must be less than 3 years. Summers count even if you didn't work. These limits are calculated as of the deadline for submission, September 20th, 2021. Your primary appointment must be in an area supported by SIZE, computer science, information science, electrical or computer engineering being most common, but not exclusive. For example, you could be in a mechanical engineering department if your research is in the computing aspects of robotics or smart cars. Second, it must have been no more than 6 years since your PhD, not counting family or medical leave. This limit is also calculated as of the deadline for submission, September 20th, 2021. Please note that this is a one-time change from previous CRII solicitations where the requirement was no more than 5 years. The solicitation notes that for submissions after this year, the five-year limit will resume. The third part of eligibility is that you not have received grants from NSF or other agencies in the PI role. Being in the co-PI role does not disqualify, nor do any of these types of NSF grants that are shown on the slide. Additionally, awards from your university or contracts from a company or private foundation do not disqualify. Note that if you have a collaborative NSF grant, the lead PI from each institution is considered a PI, so even being the PI from a non-lead institution would disqualify. The two questions in determining eligibility are, one, where does the money come from? And two, what is your role? The amount of money involved does not matter, be it small or large. So the fourth and most complex part of eligibility is available resources. The resources you've received in the past or currently have, regardless of the origin of those resources and whether or not they have been spent, must not be more than enough to support a graduate student for 24 months. Your proposal must include at least 24 months of graduate student support, and the two put together must be no more than 48 months. I should note that this is for PhD granting institutions. So if you have 20 months of support from your startup package or other grants, you're eligible, and you can request between 24 and 28 months of graduate student support, 24 being the minimum, 28 would bring you to a total of 48 months. If you have 30 months of support from your startup package or other grants or sources, you are not eligible. If 24 months of graduate student support plus the required 1 month of PI support is more than $175,000 when including indirect and other costs, you are not eligible. So for PUI institutions, the rule doesn't apply. Very simple. So let's go over the magic dates for 2021. September 20th, 2015. if your PhD was granted before September 20th, 2015, you are not eligible unless you have family or medical leave exceptions, in which case you should talk to your program officer. If you started your academic appointment before September 20th, 2018, you are not eligible unless you have family or medical leave exemptions, in which case you should talk to your program officer. There are no other exceptions, even if it's just for a few days. We know there are people who started their appointments between August 2017 and September 20th, 2018. If you fall in these categories, we encourage you to consider applying to the SIZE course solicitation, the CPS program, the SATC program, or other programs across SIZE consistent with your research areas. Please don't ask for an exception except for family or medical leave reasons. So, as I said earlier, this program is open to faculty doing research in any of the areas supported by SIZE. This slide lists the current SIZE programs that are accepting CRII submissions. Your proposal must list at least one program which is relevant to your research proposal. Descriptions of each of the programs can be found on the NSF website. Strictly follow the solicitation guidelines for titling your proposal. This helps us to ensure that it's seen by the appropriate program officers and reviewers. So the most important thing is to read the solicitation and then read it again. As described in the solicitation, proposals are limited to 10 pages, not the 15-page limit typical for most NSF proposals. We're not going to review the rules for fonts and margins. Please see the NSF Proposal and Award Policies and Procedures Guide, lovingly known as PAPG, for instructions. Trying to squeeze in more text by reducing fonts or margins is not only frustrating to reviewers, but is also likely to have your proposal returned without review. A few other points on submission. No co-PIs or other senior personnel are permitted. However, consultants and subawardees are allowed. The proposal must be for no more than $175,000 and for exactly 2 years, no more, no less. You may only submit one CRII proposal per calendar year. A common question is whether a PI may submit both a CRII and career proposal in the same calendar year. The answer is no. So the data management plan is required to be submitted as a supplementary document in Fastlane or research.gov. If you've included postdocs in your budget, you must also have a one-page postdoc mentoring plan submitted as a supplementary document. Your proposal must include a letter from your department chair certifying that you meet the eligibility requirements, including that you meet the criteria of time from PhD within 5 years and time of hire, no more than 3 years as of the submission deadline. The letter must follow the template on the NSF website. Don't make any changes except to fill in the blanks and to put it on letterhead if you desire. The letter is updated from last year, mostly to clarify the rules for faculty from PUEs. The budget is intended to be mostly spent on students, including both undergraduates and graduates. Some fraction may go to specialized equipment, such as unique hardware or software needed for research. Some travel funds are also expected. As noted, the total must not exceed $175,000. The proposal must include at least 24 months of support for graduate students, except at PUEs, where undergraduate students are expected, and there's no minimum or maximum for undergraduates. REU supplements can be requested for CRII awards following standard NSF policies. Proposals will be reviewed using the standard NSF merit review process, which will include consideration of both intellectual merit and broader impact. Unlike career proposals, there is not a specific educational component required. Factors that will be considered in the review process include relevance to one or more of the SIZE programs, as mentioned on the previous slide, the appropriateness of the research to a two-year window, the potential to produce sufficient preliminary research to help you prepare for other research awards, such as career, and whether the activities are appropriate to help you achieve research independence. New this year, PIs can request access to cloud bank resources as part of a CRII proposal for projects that need cloud computing resources. These are usually less expensive than acquiring your own cloud resources from Amazon, Google, Microsoft, et cetera. The cost of these resources counts against the $175,000 maximum. Please see the details in the solicitation or ask questions if you're interested. There are also other NSF resources that may be useful in your research. If you're doing research that needs infrastructure, please check out the resources shown on this slide, which are generally available free to the NSF community. And I should note that Alan Sussman, who will be answering questions with me, knows way more about that those resources than I do. Okay, the most important thing to do, read the solicitation, read it again. So thank you for participating in this webinar. We hope the CRII program will enable new faculty members to initiate independent research through funding students and related support. The slides and audio will be posted to the SIES website in the next few days. I should clarify, the slides and audio that I've presented up till we start at Q&A. The Q&A will not be recorded and will not be posted. And as a final reminder, proposals are due September 20th. So to share, ask your questions, you ask them through the Zoom Q&A, and our email addresses are on the NSF website, and I'm going to stop sharing. And we have the way we're going to
we have several questions now. Yeah.
Great. The way we're going to do this is Daniela and Alex are going to bring together questions, and there are you going? Oh, you're sharing your screen. Wonderful. And then Alan and I will alternate answering them. And Alan, since I've been talking for 15 minutes, I'll let Daniela present this one to you.
Okay. So question one, Alan already typed the response in the answer part. So the next question is, that's not answered before. Can you highlight what frequently asked questions are new compared to the last time?
That's a very hard question. I don't think that there's a diff between the last time and this time. I think, you know, people are just going to have to look at all at the fact if they have questions, you know, the questions are all highlighted. It's not that huge a document.
And the diff, I mean, I was the one who wrote it, and the diff is fairly minimal. If you just cut and paste the old and new into your favorite text editor and do a diff, you'll find it. It's sure. It's not, there aren't very many. They're mostly around the things we've already talked about.
Right, the details, things, little things that have changed. That's right.
Yep.
Okay, so the next question, if a pending NSF proposal presumably got funded before CRII review panel, will this impact CRII review and award process?
So Jeremy, I already responded to that sort of with writing, but this came up in a couple different questions, actually the same question. And what matters is that you're eligible as of the time that the submission deadline. Anything that happens after that doesn't change anything. So if a pending NSF grant or other grant gets funded after the submission, that doesn't change your eligibility.
Okay, thank you so much. So Daniela, would you like to read next one?
Yeah, so what if I have a joint position in math and physics departments, but my position is related to quantum information science?
Go for it. We want to see it. And quantum information science is pretty closely tied to computer and information science and engineering. I would say that would fit.
Right. Again, it gets back to whether it's, if you are sort of considering applying to other, would be consider applying to other programs in SIES the same way. If your research fits within SIES, then you would fit within the CRII program.
And the other part of it, is management information systems in business schools. Exactly what Alan said. If you would apply to SIES for other proposals, and a lot of MIS in business schools do apply to CRI, do apply to SIES, then you would be eligible.
Okay,